And away we go. It is a Wednesday, February the 26th, 2020. How about that? Wednesday, the 26th, 2020. 2:26:20. 16 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Now program, and we have got a great day of programming here on WWGH Radio. 2 hours with me this morning here on this program, and then we have the really Hall of Famer broadcasting legend Charlie Evers today from 10 a.m. till 12 noon. Then we have Progressive Life with Glenn Coble from 12:15 until 1 p.m. And after that, we have Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redman for 10 to 5 p.m. today in the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon from 6:10 until 7. So the slate is full today here on WWGH Radio. Now, a couple things I want to mention. We have a big announcement to make in regard to Friday night on this station. Now, yesterday I said I would hope that we would be able to make this announcement this morning, but I did get the call yesterday, which is the final piece of the puzzle in this whole thing. But I missed the call. I was not there when the call came in, and then I had some things to do last night, so I did not get a chance to return the call until after business hours. So we're still waiting for the final piece of the puzzle to be put in place, so I'm not going to announce it yet. But before this show is over, I could get an email, because now we are exchanging emails with this particular person, the final piece of the puzzle. So before the 2-hour broadcast is over today, there is a very good chance that we might have the final piece of this puzzle and we can make this announcement. But if we don't do it today, we will surely do it tomorrow. So don't forget that big announcement that is coming up on Friday. So that is something that's going to be big, to be sure. Now, here's my thing. You know, I like to rant and rave a little bit about McDonald's every morning. And sometimes the rants and raves are good, because raves are good things, rants are bad things. Well, here's what happened this morning. Now, this is more of a rant than a rave. I was going through to get my large Diet Coke. Now, yesterday I didn't even attempt it because the line was so big. Well, this morning I was moving a little quicker than I normally am, and I could see that both lanes were open, the two lanes where you can make orders. And I thought, okay, well, I can get in there and I can get my drink and get in pretty fast, because I needed to get to the studio a little earlier than I normally do today. So I thought, I can pull this off. So I slide in there, and both lanes are open, and I'm waiting in the line. We have a little bit of a line. I'm probably 3 cars back at this particular point. And I'm still at that fork in the road where you either go to the right window or you go to the left window, or ordering machine, I guess is what you'd say. So in the left ordering window, there are 2 cars. In the right, there are 3. So I'm thinking, as soon as I hit the fork, I'm going to go left because there's less trouble there. And just as I'm about to hit that fork to go left, a lady, an employee I would guess, comes out of McDonald's, walks out of the door, the little side door there, with an orange cone in her hand, and sets it behind this black pickup truck which had just ordered, because now they're down to just one person in that line, and as soon as I hit this fork, I'm going to be the next person to order. I'm still 3 deep in the other lane. So she puts a cone there, and now nobody else can get in that lane. So I had to sit in the other lane behind three cars and wait to order, and they were rather slow-moving cars this morning. So this morning was not the highlight of my life. Now, here's another thing that might figure into my growing dementia that I have. The fact that I can remember this story is a miracle. Okay, this morning I got up, and for some reason I had a little bit of a headache. And I know if I don't treat a headache quickly, it's going to get progressively worse as the day goes along. So I woke up, I had a headache, I knew I had a headache, and I thought, before I get in the shower and start getting ready for work, I want to take some aspirin. So this was on my mind as I was getting out of bed. So I remember going into the kitchen. I remember putting the glass that I was using last night into the dishwasher. I remember that very well. I remember getting a new glass out of the cupboard to take these aspirin. I remember pouring some lemonade in a cup to take these aspirin. And then I either must have blacked out or my dementia had set in, because the next thing I remember is being in the bathroom brushing my teeth and getting ready to shave to get in the shower to come here. Now, at this point, my head is hurting pretty bad because I've been up, 15, 20 minutes now. And I'm thinking, okay, why is my head still hurting this bad? You think it would kind of go down a little bit. So as I'm standing there brushing my teeth in the bathroom this morning, it dawned on me. We're getting a phone call already. I remember I did all the things I needed to do, but did I take what I needed to take? Well, let's see who this is. Let's go to the phones. Go ahead, caller, are you there?
No, I'm not here.
That's never a good sign.
I know it. I thought I was, and I looked down, and I can't. Oh, there's covers over me. I'm sleeping late.
Well, good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. I got your message, and I said, well, I'll call him real quick here.
Oh, Gary Burbank, how are you?
I'm fine. I should be speaking in round pear-shaped tones, shouldn't I?
How are things where you are?
I haven't opened my eyes yet, but I'm going to later.
Have you ever been an early morning person?
Yes, I have. In fact, I used to. The way I woke up when I worked at CKLW was we were like in that in Canada, in Detroit, basically, but across the river in Canada. I woke up, and it really woke me up, was I rode my motorcycle to work, and not in the winter time, but like fall and all that kind of stuff. But I would wake up by doing Tarzan yells, and just driving down, on my bike, going. Finally, I got pulled over by a police car, and the guy said, "Well, we caught you." And then I told him who I was and why I was doing that. I said, "I'm just yelling to get my voice in shape, because I got to go on the air." And he goes, "Oh," and he didn't give me a ticket, but he made me promise not to do a Tarzan yell riding my motorcycle. Because we forget, these people, they didn't have air conditioning. They just opened their windows, or they had it, but they mostly opened their windows. And when a motorcycle goes by, that's bad enough. But a guy on top of the motorcycle going,
"So you were doing the old Carol Burnett Tarzan yell."
Yeah, really, I was, and but it did wake me up.
I bet it would in the morning.
Yeah.
Doing morning radio is a little different than afternoon radio. I've had the chance to do them both, and you've done them both. What's the biggest difference to you?
I think since I did humor, at least that's what I called it, afternoons, because most of my stuff was a little esoteric. I don't like to use that word, but esoteric, but it was a little different, and it might take you a minute to get it. And in the morning, you just don't have time for that kind of stuff, I can be blatant, you write different, I think. Afternoons, more like you can do, longer stuff. People have more time going home when you feel like it. I just liked it. Plus, I didn't have to go to bed at 8:30 or 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah, that is a plus, isn't it? I don't know how people do morning radio for long stretches, like 30 years. I don't know how you get used to that.
I know guys that have done it their whole careers. Look at, Wayne Perkey. He's one of the best there is, and he uh, He is just, you know, just as perky in the morning as his name is. I mean, he's that sounds great.
You know,
but I remember in Louisville there was a guy named Bill Bailey. Did you ever Bill I, Bailey talk like this here? And he just sounded grumpy all the time, and he kind of matched his listeners, you know, getting up in the morning.
You know, it's interesting. I've always thought that, for whatever reason, Southern people with the Southern accent, whether or not it came, they came by it in the actual South or they just developed it for some reason, because radio obviously is all audio-based. If you have that accent, that is very relatable to so many people.
Sure.
There's something about it that's very homey. It's not homogenized at all.
Yeah, but we have to. What was the Don Williams song? If you want to do anything, you know, you have to learn to talk like the guy on the 6 o'clock news. I mean, most time people talking kind of like this here, you know, they sitting around and talking, and they all and one guy talking like this and just it doesn't fit in.
Well, it's funny because all those announcers from those days, and I think a lot of that has went away now, thank goodness, but boy, they really wanted you to enunciate every word, and heaven forbid if you said W or W instead of W.
W. It's funny to me how many people cannot say W, and I figured it out by just saying the word double, like I hit a double, and then put a U on the end of it, W.
You know, Gary, I think the internet was out to get us with that, because all radio stations here on the East Coast at least have one W in them, and then we get the World Wide Web, which was WWW, and boy, you were just W'd out by the time
You know, I was a WLW, so, but there's a station, it's WWWW, you know what they call it?
What's that?
W4.
I like that. You know, call letters really used to mean something, and now these stations that have been around 80, 90 years, a lot of them, they don't really know what the call letters originally stood for now. It was, I guess, something that wasn't written down.
Yeah, you know, you're right about that. It's, I have no idea what, let's see. But there was a reason behind it, you know, like in Louisville, Wacky. The reason behind that was everybody there was about half wacky.
Well, here in Marion, we have had this big question for a lot of years, because the station that's been here 80 years this year is MRN. Those are the call letters, but it depends on who you talk to as to what that means.
I get it.
Yeah. It's some people say Marion Radio News. Some people say what Marion really needed. No, and some people say it's Marion without the vowels. So I don't know what it is.
Or it could just be like moron. Yeah.
It could be moron. It could be that as well. Well, Gary, what's new with you?
I don't know yet. I haven't ventured out. So every day is different, you know. In this retirement world, I'm just trying to figure out. I know what's prepared for me, because I made some red beans and rice yesterday, and that's not really a Mardi Gras dish, but it was Mardi Gras day, and that's the only thing I can make like that. And I've got a sink full of dishes that I haven't visited yet, and I don't think my wife's going to do it.
So you're stuck. You're going to be doing the dishes.
Yeah, I haven't, and these are like you know, pots and pans, and I use way more than I need to.
You know, Gary, I was thinking about you the other night. So many of these Democratic presidential debates have been going on, and they've gotten a little more animated as time has gone on. Would this be something, if you were doing a show today, that you'd be talking about?
Sure. You know, you talk about current events, and you try to find something ironic, something funny, you know, to attack it. And sure, I would be doing that. Yeah. I'm not saying that this verifies the DNC for having any sense, but it just amazes me why they're picking on each other when they when their opponent has nothing like that going on. and can just keep campaigning.
You know, totally non-political, totally just out of the blue here, what I have noticed and what I've heard a lot of people notice is this whole hand-raising thing. When did this come in?
Yeah.
What is that?
They keep talking about, you know, Trump being, Nazi-ish. And remember when they were raising their hands and they were saying they're doing that to him? And I don't get it either.
It's very strange. You're
but
right.
It does. It looks like they salute. You're like, don't do that. You know.
Well, you would think that I thought
maybe they should give them horns. And I don't mean horns to squeeze horns. I mean car horn type.
Well, at least you would know who was honking at that point.
Yeah.
You would know. What I can't understand though is I thought the job of the moderator used to be to call on the person who was next in line, and then you wouldn't have this hand-raising thing.
Yeah, or you just get them used to that. When they do that, we used to do a thing, when we go to a press conference, it would be a pretend press conference, of course, and we'd all start saying, I want to hear my voice, 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 and it would just all, three guys doing it and then dubbing it over a couple of times. Really had a funny sound to it, a strange sound to it. I want to hear my voice. I want to hear my voice, and that's kind of what they're doing. I want to hear my voice.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, Gary, there's one thing I wanted to ask you about this morning because, of course, we get a lot of questions in this area about Earl Pitts, and where did the name come from?
You know, the name just popped in my head. I mean, Earl is just was a good country name. And Pitts was, I don't know. I must have known someone named Pitts. I don't know. I wish I did. Usually, I like to think that I'm actually thinking these things out, but they just occur, and you just do it. and then people ask you that question, and then you feel like an idiot. I don't know.
In this day when we do have a news cycle that is constantly changing, ever-changing, how far in advance does Earl have to be taped, or how far in advance do you not want to tape Earl?
About a week, and sometimes less, maybe 3-4 days. It depends on when. I do them on Wednesday, and it's me and some other guys that write, and girls too, that write Earl. And so we just in my old age, I've become more of just an editor and maybe try to add a funny line every now and then. But my partner Tim Mizak lives in Colorado, and he moved from Hawaii to Colorado.
Hmm.
He's out of his mind. But anyway, it's just. I forgot the question.
How far in advance do you have to tape the Earl segments?
Yeah, about a week, really. And I think I answered that.
You did. We got that one down. We can check that
what
one
What I
off,
do is please. I go into the studio when I'm up north. I go into the studio and do it with a producer. Here I have a little studio. Not much of a studio, but I go in and cut it there.
You know, a lot of people would be interested in, and nothing too specific here, but what is Earl talking about these days, if you tune him in this week?
I don't know yet. I'm going to find out in about about an hour.
It's right around the corner.
It's right around the corner. Yeah, I have to do it. I cannot remember.
Is it
the guy that goes, you know what makes me sick? Yeah.
Wait,
the guy.
Well, is it hard to go into the voice? I mean, obviously the start of
no,
it is.
No, it's not. When you do it that long, it's just natural as it can be. I was doing Earl the other day, and Earl was doing something about some lady. And so Earl, I was doing Earl's voice, and Earl was doing the lady's voice. And I thought that was kind of weird sounding, Earl's talking like this. And she said, I'll tell you right now. And then I went into her voice, Earl doing a voice. So I thought, that's kind of goofy. I've got, I'm doing this voice and it's doing its own voice.
Have you ever done an URL that you regret doing?
Oh yeah, every day. Earl said something about, this is a good time to bring this up, I guess. Earl said something one time, I don't know what the comment was, about Catholics or something. Excuse me. And a priest called me from, I think he was a long way out of town, but we went on the air and we talked a little about it, and he said, well, you said so-and-so. And I said, no, I didn't say that. Earl said it. He goes, but you're Earl. And I said, yeah, but that's a character. And he said, but you're Earl. I said, did you ever watch All in the Family? And he said, yeah. I said, did you ever write Carol O'Connor and tell him you didn't like what he said? And he said, well, no. I said, well, why not? And he goes, well, he's an actor. And I said, duh. You know, just because you can't see me, you know, I'm not acting. It's what the character says, you know. And so he said, yeah, okay, I see your point. You're a real nice guy. And so as we get ready to hang up, he said, just don't do it anymore. And I said, I'm going to do it as soon as I hang this phone up. That's what I do. You know, and there are a lot of people that worry that other people don't get it, when in fact they're the ones that don't get it.
Yeah, that's a point, because obviously Gary Burbank has his own political beliefs, spiritual beliefs, life beliefs, morals. How close are they to Earl's?
Not very much.
So
I like to think they're not that, but probably they're closer than I would imagine.
Because he is a beloved character and goes out now further than your voice does at this particular point, is it hard sometimes to do those when you don't agree with them?
Oh no, not at all. Because I always agree. I always agree with the satire. And I mean, it's you know, sometimes it's better than other times, but I always agree with the satire.
But
and I mean, not that. I'm not sure what. Let me see. I gotta wake up.
Well, it's interesting you bring up Archie Bunker, because I remember seeing Carol O'Connor interviewed years after Archie Bunker was over, and the knock on All in the Family was that absolutely the character was created and performed to be satirical, that this was a guy you were supposed to know was not very bright, and his views were not very evolved.
Right, and you see him doing something that is pretty much stupid, and then and obviously that, you see him doing that, and it basically tells you that this is not the way to act.
Well, that's the idea, Carol said, but the problem is that people fell in love with Archie Bunker, and they said, go get him, Archie, and they thought that he was right instead of seeing it as satire. And I think Earl, being the longest-running comedic syndicated program in the history of radio at this point, people do. I was talking to somebody the other day who said they listened to Earl Pitts every day when they were in high school, and I imagine there is a section of his audience who does not see that as satire. They see that as, go get him, Earl.
Oh, yeah, I hear from them. Yeah, I usually get under the bed.
So is that ever something that you are cognizant of when you're recording them?
If I thought about that, you know, it wouldn't be very funny, I think, because I'd be nervous about it, and I'm really not, because I know what I mean, and I'm doing the best I can at it. And I think anybody else that tries to do a little satire is basically the same way.
How many people think you're Earl Pitts at this point?
Oh, I hear from a lot of people that think Earl is real, you know. One time in the restaurant it's in Cincinnati. We were selling Pitt's beer, Pitt's, the beer that made America pee, and we had a sign that said that over the bar, and the waitress, the server came to me, said there's these guys from Dallas, and they saw the beer, and I told them you were here. They wanted me to roll Pitts. I said, okay. And I did a couple things I had to do. And then I started walking into that room of the restaurant. And these guys, all four of them, I could tell, you know, they were from Dallas, or, you know, one of them had a cowboy hat, not on, but, you know, sitting beside him on a chair. And I saw him as I walked toward him, and I saw their eyes sort of, they looked disappointed. And I walked up to the table, and I said, you guys are looking for Earl Pitts, right? And they said, yeah. I said, man, he just left. Now, he left not only, I'll bet you, 5 minutes ago. And you could see the relief that I was not Earl Pitts, because, you know, I just don't, I don't match up. Unless I'm, you know, unless I'm made up like it, then I'm okay.
That is a great story. Well, Gary, I cannot thank you enough for getting up early this morning, sharing a few minutes with us here. And before I let you go, at this time of the morning, can you give us a little bit of something that Earl might say?
No, I don't.
That's a straight answer, Gary. That's the way to do it.
Yeah, I would, but I can't. All right.
Thank you, Gary.
Take it easy. I'll see you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
The legendary Gary Burbank here on WWGH Radio. What a great surprise that was. I don't know really how that happened. I'm going to have to look into that. I wasn't prepared for that. But Gary Burbank, the legendary Earl Pitts, and we thank him for calling in this morning. Right in the middle of my, what was I talking about? Oh, the cone at McDonald's. Why did they take and put that cone in the middle of the lane this morning at McDonald's, blocking me off, making my morning a little longer? But, you know, McDonald's has such good large diet fountain drinks, I'm willing to forgive it at this particular point. But we thank Gary Burbank very much for calling in. Unexpected, I did not know he was calling in, but I thank him for calling in. Thank you, Gary. All right. Now, what else do we have going here? See, now I got to get back on track. See, this is real live radio when you don't have any breaks. We're not going to break again until the top of the hour here. So now I'm a little undecided of where I want to go. What time? What do I have to fit in before this hour is up? Okay, I tell you what I do want to do, since we did that. We did the Friday announcement is postponed right now until we get total confirmation on this. Do want to let you know, tomorrow is the big day. Thursday, February 27th, Stewart's Drive-In Root Beer Stand, located at 1036 North Main Street, will be opening for its 95th season. How about that? WWGH Radio 107.1 FM will be celebrating by giving away a root beer float during my program tomorrow morning, 8:10 until 10 a.m., and the Charlie Evers Show from 10:10 a.m. until 12 noon. That's tomorrow on Thursday, the grand opening day. Now, we will also be doing a live remote from Stewart's Root Beer tomorrow night, the last hour they're open, 7:10 until 8 p.m. I will be there, Sean Kraft will be there, and at this point, we know the 40th Treasurer of the United States of America under President Bill Clinton, Mary Ellen Withrow, will be along with us tomorrow night at Stewart's Root Beer, 7:10 until 8 p.m. Now, here's the thing about these root beer floats that we'll be giving away tomorrow morning. We're going to do it in a drawing. So we'll give one away during my show and one away during Charlie's show. So during the morning, we are going to have trivia questions in regard to Stewart's Root Beer, which I drew up last night. And you'll call in, answer a trivia question tomorrow, and then at 5 till 10 tomorrow morning, I will draw my winner, which, so we'll have one winner of a root beer float to Stewart's, and then right before 12 o'clock tomorrow, before Charlie goes off the air, he will make a drawing for a root beer float from Stewart's. So that's how that will go. And here's the great thing about this. You do not have to come to the studio to pick up these root beer floats, because all we need is your name. When you call in and you win, I'm just going to send your name over to Stewart's immediately at noon tomorrow. They will have it over there. So when you go in tomorrow to celebrate the 95th grand opening, all you will have to do is tell them your name and you will get a free root beer float. And hopefully you'll order something else with that root beer float, because it is the grand opening day of a Marian institution, 95 years. And doing a little research on Stewart's yesterday was fun, to come up with the trivia questions that we will be doing tomorrow morning. And it's going to be interesting. Let me tell you at this point, it's going to be interesting, Because, like I say, Mary Ellen's going to be with us, Sean Kraft's going to be with us, and I hope we have a fourth person. I had talked to Charlie about doing the remote with me, but I have not heard back from Charlie, and I have not met up with Charlie. So I don't know, I probably won't know until 10 o'clock this morning if Charlie's going to do the remote with us. I hope he does. It would be a lot of fun, 7:10 to 8 p.m. tomorrow. But I'm not sure if we're going to be doing this from inside the galley of Stewart's, because there were only four stools in there. Now, I don't want to, you know, take up stools from people who are eating if it's packed. I don't know if it'll be packed at 7 o'clock, so I guess we'll play that by ear. If it looks like we can go inside and sit, we'll probably do that. That'll be better for pictures and the broadcast for people to see us there. But if we cannot get inside the galley, we're not going to inconvenience the customers or anything of that nature. So we will do the broadcast live from a car, because that is one of the big perks and interests of Stewart's Root Beer, is to sit in your car and eat. Have the car hop come out and put the food on your window. So we could be doing the broadcast live from the car. How about that? Mary Ellen Withrow, Scott Spears, Sean Kraft, and possibly Charlie Evers all sitting in a car doing a live broadcast. I don't know if that's ever been done. You talk about Renegade Radio. There you go. That's about as renegade as you're going to get. So that's going to happen tomorrow, 7:10 until 8 p.m. from the big grand opening of Stewart's Root Beer. And if you can't listen over the air, 107.1 FM, you can listen from the website, wwgh1071.com, or by downloading the free TuneIn app on any mobile device and searching WWGH. That's all you have to do. It is that simple. So very cool there. Now, you know, I think I have figured out what I'm going to have at Stewart's at this point. I'm going to have a shredded chicken sandwich, and I'm going to have some curly fries, and then, of course, I'm going to have a root beer. Now, I don't know if I'm going to have a root beer float. We'll see how full I am and what point I'm at by the time I have drank the root beer, ate some curly fries, and done the shredded chicken sandwiches. Although people have said you need to do the foot-long hot dog. But here's the thing. I cannot remember at Stewart's, is it Coney sauce or is it chili sauce that goes on the foot-long hot dog? I like them either way. But, you know, Coney sauce really doesn't have any meat in it. And chili sauce, I can't remember exactly. See, that's how the mind works. So apparently, there tomorrow night, Abby, our good friend Abby Crowman, will be along with us. She'll be there celebrating the opening of Stewart's Root Beer, so I'm sure she'll be in on the conversation with Mary Ellen and Sean and myself for that 50-minute period, 7:10 until 8 p.m. And I believe she's bringing her kids over to the big party tomorrow. So, grand opening, Stewart's Root Beer, Thursday, February 27th. It's going to be a thing, to be sure. You won't want to miss this for love nor money. I can't remember. Is it chili sauce or Coney sauce over at Stewart's? Does anybody remember? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Are you excited about the big grand opening tomorrow? I don't know if there is any restaurant that's been open 95 years continuously. Now, the Marion location, I don't think has been open 95 years. I would have to, let's see about this. I would have to probably do some research on this. I think the chain has been open 95 years, but I don't think the Marion location has been open 95 years. But from what I understand, the Marion location has been open a long time. So if it's not 95 years, it's pretty close to 95 years. That's an interesting question. Is anybody, any historians out there, or anybody from the Historical Society, because I know a lot of you guys answer, does anybody know the year that the Marion Stewart's Root Beer opened? I doubt there is anybody left who remembers it the year it opened from being there, because it would be, you know, probably 90 years ago at this point. But what year did that open, the stand on North Main Street? Now, it is my understanding that at this point, the Marion, Ohio Stewart's Root Beer is the only one in the chain left in Ohio. So anywhere in Ohio you are, from Cincinnati to Cleveland to Dayton to Mansfield, if you want to go to a Stewart's Root Beer stand, you have to come to Marion, Ohio. And I think that's a great thing for this particular area. And I know the owners of Stewart's Root Beer do a great job, and that is a big plus on everybody's side for that great Marion tradition. But don't forget, we're going to be giving away the Stewart's Root Beer floats. Root beer floats tomorrow morning, one during my show, 8:10 to 10 a.m., one during Charlie's show, 10:10 to 12 p.m., and then tomorrow night we will be doing the live broadcast from Stewart's Root Beer from 7:10 until 8 p.m., and at this point it looks like it will be myself, Sean Kraft, and 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. Now, I had talked yesterday about naming meals and food after people because of Mary Ellen having schools named after her at this point. And it's so neat now working in the city schools, and I'll hear from time to time somebody say, hey, my friend goes to Withrow. And I think, how cool is that? That this woman from Marion has been honored in this way because she's still alive. And I don't think that's ever happened. I don't think a Marion City school, or for that matter, any school in Marion County, has ever been named for a living person. So that's historic in and of itself. So, you know, maybe a dish at Stewart's could be named for Mary Ellen. Usually, I think how that's done is it's whatever they eat. I think that's how that's done in all the other restaurants. But see, then you got to change all the menus. Then you got a whole nother thing. A lot of cost involved in that. So I'm not sure exactly how that'll work. I'm getting messages from Abby here that her kids are excited for the big opening of Stewart's Root Beer tomorrow, as is Abby waiting for her fried pickles. Now, are those deep fried pickles? Is that how that works? I don't really know. I've never had the fried pickles over at Stewart's. And does anybody know about the Coney sauce versus the chili sauce? Or you could call in at this point and tell me what your favorite meal is, or your favorite thing is at Stewart's. Is it a root beer? Is it an ice cream float? Is it a root beer float, excuse me? Is it any other desserts? We heard about the mushroom yesterday. Do you like the curly fries? Do you like the hamburgers? Do you like the shredded chicken? Do you like the foot-long hot dogs? What do you like? 740-383-9944. What do you like at Stewart's Root Beer? If you were going there tomorrow on the 95th grand opening of that particular chain, what would you be eating? 740-383-9944, 53 minutes past the hour on this morning. And we thank Gary Burbank again for calling in this morning. Like I say, that was kind of a surprise, but anytime Gary wants to come on this show, the microphones are always open for Gary Burbank. You cannot like Gary Burbank. All right, let's see here. We're getting a message on Facebook. Footlong Coney with onions. Footlong Coney with onions seems to be very popular. You know, I like onions, but there are certain things that I don't like onions on. Like, I like onion rings. I like onions on a hamburger. I can eat onions on a hamburger. And sometimes on a hot dog, but not every time. I don't know why not every time. I know it's strange, but you know what I think it is? I think it's because I like the taste of the sauce that goes on the hot dog so much that I think that the onion will change the taste. I guess in my particular case is why I tend to refrain from the onions on the Coney. Now, I do want to mention, by the way, that Abby, who I mentioned earlier on, who will be with us over tomorrow night at the Stewart's grand opening on Monday. Now, this is a friend, and I'm going to try to get this in in 6 minutes. But on Monday morning, as many of you know, I was talking about these blueberry dumplings, and I've been on these dumpling kick for 4 or 5 days. And Monday morning was my birthday. And, you know, I get off the air here at 10, and I think it was toward the end of the show I was talking about blueberry dumplings. And I see Abby usually about 2:30 in the afternoon on Monday. So between 10, and Abby has jobs, you know, she has work. It's not like she's sitting at home all day. Between 10 o'clock Monday morning and 2:30 Monday afternoon, which is a very short amount of time, Abby had went out, bought the ingredients, made the blueberry dumplings, and brought them to where we work together and gave them to me. Now, here's the kicker in the whole thing. The blueberry dumplings were delicious. Now, I feel I have to do this, and I felt I had to post a picture on Facebook because I so trashed her sausage biscuits and gravy, and you know, I'm just not a sausage biscuits and gravy person, but these blueberry dumplings were really amazing. I was so impressed because you can really screw up dumplings. Because if the dumplings have no taste to them, then you just have that doughy flour taste. But Abby's tasted amazing. These dumplings were amazing. I don't know what was in them that gave them taste, because the blueberries already have a good taste. Because if you're eating blueberry dumplings, chances are you like blueberries, or why else would you be eating them? But I was so impressed that she did that in such a short amount of time, and you would have to say that these were made from scratch. It's not like she made these she didn't go to the store and get homemade dumplings. And I asked her, I said, did you just put jelly in here for the blueberries? No, real blueberries, real blueberry sauce. So how about that? That was such a nice gesture on my birthday. And to do it in such order, I was highly impressed and highly thankful of her doing that. And the fact that the food turned out to be so good, hey, what a pal that is. You cannot go wrong there. So Abby and I might disagree a lot on the air and have a lot of fun doing that, and also during the podcast. But she really is a very, very good and thoughtful person, because that was a very thoughtful act. And then she gave me her crock pot, not the crock pot as a gift, but she gave me the crock pot with the blueberry dumplings in them to take home that night and finish up. And I've cleaned the crock pot out, so I'll be bringing the crock pot back soon, because the blueberry muffins are, our blueberry dumplings are all gone at this particular point. But I will say this, it's not just my taste here. There was another teacher at the school. There was another, well, Michelle, who works in our little group there, who all sampled the blueberry dumplings and all thought they were amazing. So it's not just my taste buds and my partiality to blueberry dumplings at this point. It is Abby. Abby's cooking skills of cooking something from scratch like that. And I was so impressed because she said she'd even put lemon zest in them and had grated her fingers that day putting lemon zest in these dumplings. You know, thoughtfulness, I think, is lost in society now. I think sometimes we are very me, 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 and we try to put on a little false, you know, shot with somebody else. I always say, make me something. If it's a birthday or Christmas and somebody wants to get something for you, I always say, make me something. And to be honest with you, that was a very cool gift because it was made and it took time and it took effort and it took thoughtfulness. So I really do appreciate that. Now, at this point, see, I don't even know if I should go here. I'm not going to go there at this point because I'm trying to be very, very nice this morning. And they were very good, and that's no lie. I would not come on the air and lie. They were delicious. They were great. I will probably ask her to make them again at some point along the way. But you know what this makes me think? It makes me think that the sausage biscuits and gravy were probably very good. It's just not something I like. That's how I need to backtrack that. But I don't have a video yet, because I'm waiting for like a video montage, because I, you know, these video things, I think that's impressive too. I'm waiting for a video montage of life. And I also do want to say this really quickly. You know, Abby is doing something today that I think takes a lot of guts and I think will help a lot of people. And I'm not going to dive any deeper than that because, you know, that's her business. But I'm very impressed and very proud of her for doing what she's going to do today. So, Abby, you, my Cubs cap is off to you today for what you're going to do. Yes, I want a video, Abby. Yes, I want one of those mashup videos. I want you to put some nice music in the background and then steal some pictures off my Facebook page and make a nice video. What would be wrong with that? You can put like a radio song in the background. Wouldn't that be good? Do they call that a mashup? I think they do. Abby, don't be nervous. Don't be nervous. Don't be nervous. You're going to do great. I'm impressed. I'm proud of you. And I think you're going to do great. And we're all behind you. We're going to go to break. Hey, guess what? We've got a whole nother hour coming up. Don't you dare go away.
Interview with. I really like to do them.
Well, and may it continue. We're not going to stop at 10 years. We're going to go on into the next years. What do you make of his opponent?
Now you're trying to get me in trouble.
No,
yes,
no.
You are. You're trying to. you're baiting me.
No.